1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 7 this morning and continue through verse 12. Verse 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Several years ago, there was an advertisement on television for a soap company. I'm not going to mention the name of the soap company because I can't remember it. But I do remember that a little boy was looking intently at his shadow in the commercial. The slogan underneath the picture said, "That's the only thing I can't wash out." Well, reminded me of the shadow of influence that each of us put out there in public. What kind of a shadow are we leaving in public? One of kindness and love and a vibrant faith? Or one that has wrong attitudes and actions that leave impressions on minds? And whatever that impression is, it's hard to erase those impressions that we leave with people. So I ask you this morning, what kind of an example are you and I portraying to others around us? A shadow of influence towards others, whether it would hamper the cause of Christ or further the cause of Christ. The most influential sermons from Whiteheads Grove Baptist Church do not come from the pulpit on Sunday morning. The most influential sermons that come from Whiteheads Grove Baptist Church come from you out in the community. Your lifestyle preaches a message to the lost and to other Christians and tells others whether we have a vibrant life in Christ, a real dynamic witness for the Lord, or are we just following a religion? Has there been a change that has taken place in our lives, or do we have merely a religious experience? Others will look at us and our example and our testimony, relatives and acquaintances, family members, co-workers, students in school, if we're in school. The Apostle Paul was an example in his life and ministry of one to follow. Others looked at his lifestyle and knew what a change had taken place in his life. Do people look at you and realize the changes that have taken place in your life? So this morning I want us to look at the Apostle Paul and the example he was in his attitude towards the ministry, as well as his lifestyle before the Lord and before others. So this morning we'll look at the primacy of Paul's sacrifice in verses 7 through 9, and then we'll look at the properties of Paul's life in verses 10 and 11, and the purpose of Paul's life in verse 12. Now this morning, I want us to look at the first part, the primacy of Paul's sacrifice in verses 7 through 9. His life was completely turned around when he met Jesus. I remember back in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, was a testimony of the life of Paul before he got saved. He was known as Saul back then, and it said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Notice that Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was one that participated in Stephen's death. He also was one that made havoc of the church. And when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus changed his life. He came from persecuting the church to preaching to the church and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And because he knew the Lord, there was a sacrifice that came upon his life. And that sacrifice was marked in verse 7 by warmth. "We were gentle among you." What a change from persecutor to someone who loved Christians. Now, I want us to understand as well this morning that Paul was changed, and you, if you know Christ, have been changed, but it is not a change to perfection. Let's look back in Acts chapter 15 for just a moment. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. The Bible says, "In some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.' And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by their brethren out of the grace of God." Now notice, there was contention among these two brethren, Paul and Barnabas. Now the Bible doesn't indicate here which one was right and which one was wrong. But we do know when there is sharp contention among two believers, there can be a difference of opinion, amen? But when I have a feeling here in Scripture, it wasn't just, "Well, I don't think I'd like him to go along." It said it was sharp. It sounds from the inference here that there was some raising of voices and sharp contention and fighting among them, maybe not physically. But how many realize that's not real spiritual? Now we're talking here about the Apostle Paul. And everybody looks at Paul and says, "Well, you know, he was perfect." No, he wasn't. And neither are you and me. There are going to be times when we don't act like Jesus did. Why is that? Because we have the old sin nature in us. It's in you and me. It's in the Apostle Paul when he ministered. But notice over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, while Paul was in prison writing to Timothy, he said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." In Acts 15, he didn't want to have anything to do with Mark. He forsook the mission emphasis at that time. But later he says, "Send Mark." Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we act like we ought not to act. But there's forgiveness in the Lord. And he can still use you in spite of your frailties. And so Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in all men, apt to teach and patient." The word patience. Sometimes we think somebody got to get saved and right away they turn spiritual overnight. That doesn't happen. And sometimes the spiritual growth is very weak and slow. It's there, but sometimes it's very slow. And that's why Paul said, be patient with one another. They may not be up to your spiritual level. And maybe you're not up to their spiritual level. But folks, have patience among one another. That's why Paul said that he was gentle among them. Now, the word gentle means a tender concern, a kindness, and a care for the people, a genuine desire to meet the needs of others in a warm and gentle fashion. We should help people in their spiritual lives and must do so gently and kindly. So when a believer that maybe he's only been saved a few weeks or a few months, and all of a sudden he says, well, I'm going over here, and you know that's not what a godly, where a godly person ought to go, don't browbeat him and say, well, that's crazy, you ought not go there. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be gentle, kind, and loving, and share kindly what a Christian life should entail. Paul was gentle. And he goes on in verse 7, it says, as a nurse cherisheth her children. The idea here is a nursing mother cherishes her children. The word cherisheth is to warm and be used in the way a mother bird warms and covers her young. To warm. That's how we ought to treat other believers. Warmly, gently, kindly. Mother birds gather their young under the wings and provide warmth and protection. And so this is the picture that Paul is presenting here. The servant is to provide warmth and attitude as he cares for the needs of others. People need to be loved. People need to be loved. And I am so thankful for our church that I believe this is a genuine, loving church. Some churches say, oh, we have a loving church. And by that they mean they greet people as they come in the door. Hey, how are you doing this morning? That's not necessarily a loving church. This, I believe sincerely, this is a loving church. We saw that yesterday as many of us gathered and some worked and some just fellowshipped like I did. But it was great because, you know, people just loved one another yesterday. It was a time of kindness and gentleness. And that was not unusual. That's not unusual for this church. And what we need to do is let others outside the church see what we're like. Now, we've got to be the same outside the church as we are in. We ought to be gentle and kind to unsaved people as well. Not just believers need to be loved, but non-believers as well need to be loved. Giving you an opportunity to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to have the attitude of, what can I do to meet this person's need? How can I encourage this person today? Paul was one who was marked by warmth, and sacrifice was also marked by willingness. The motivation, verse 8, being affectionately desirous of you, ye were dear unto us. Paul had a yearning and a desire to help them in their spiritual walk with Christ. It wasn't just, well, I'm glad he's saved. Good luck to you in your spiritual growth. He was desiring them to grow closer to the Lord. And that should be the desire of each one of us here at Whitehead's Grove. That all of us progress spiritually. He said they were dear unto them. He truly loved the people at Thessalonica. A dear warmth. And he was only there a month. Some of us have been here for years. And we ought to love more and more the longer that we are here. Sometimes Christians come to church and they're so concerned about their own needs, they fail to be concerned for the needs of others. They have the attitude, well, here am I at church, meet my needs. Be a blessing to me. Instead, we ought to have the attitude, here I am at church, how can I be a blessing to you? Maybe somebody needs prayer. Maybe somebody just needs a word of encouragement. Whatever it is, Jesus had the right attitude that was displayed in Mark 10:45 when the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He didn't come to be worshiped, he came to serve. And so many believers in other churches that I've been in come to church really to be worshiped, to be admired, to have the attitude, "Here I am, aren't you glad I'm here today?" That's not the attitude of Jesus. Jesus' attitude was to come and to serve and to love others, to meet their needs. Some leave church claiming their needs weren't being met. Have you heard that before? Our needs weren't being met, so we left and we went over to this other church. Well, their attitude was, "Here am I, meet my needs," instead of, "Here I am, how can I meet your needs?" And when if we all have that attitude, everybody's needs are going to be met. Everybody's going to be encouraged. And so people need encouragement. In fact, in verse 8, he says he was affectionately desirous, and that means to long for. He had a longing in his heart to minister to them. It's kind of like nursery workers that become affectionate towards nursery children. I've seen it in a lot of churches where they love those children. It's not just an opportunity to change diapers. How many really enjoy? But they love the children. They take care of those children. And that's really what this is all about. Longing for, loving, and encouraging one another. And that's why, as we saw in 2 Timothy 2:24, that we are to be gentle and patient with one another. Not striving. A lot of churches just go through a lot of strife and contention. But folks, that's not true of us. And I pray it doesn't become a part of our lives here at the church. We need to love one another. And it was intensified in Paul's life. In verse 8 he says, "Not the gospel only, but also our own souls." He was willing to give of his life. And willing means well pleased, delighted. It was a joy for Paul to give his life so that others might come to Christ and the Christians might be encouraged in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us never been faced with a life-threatening situation in witnessing. Back in the day, when you could go door to door and it was halfway safe, when I was going to Bible college, we'd go out on Saturday mornings. A fellow that lived across the hall named Daryl, we decided we'd go together one Saturday morning. Go from the church, and they would give us visitation cards. Not necessarily this person came to visit the church. We just got their address out of the phone book. Here's somebody along this road. Go invite them to church and see where they are spiritually. So we went out, and it was out in the country somewhere. We found this old farmhouse, and we walked up to the door, and we knocked on the door. Lady answered the door. Boy, was she hostile. "What are you doing here?" Evidently, as the conversation continued, somebody else from the church came last week. So we're knocking on the door 2 weeks in a row. "What are you doing here? I don't want anyone to come from your church again." And about then, I looked around, and here we are at the front door on the porch, and down between my car and us was this giant St. Bernard dog. Now, some of you may think, well, St. Bernard, you know, they got the little rum, or, you know, they're real kind and gentle. Stay close to them, you'll have your needs met. No, they're mean dogs. And this one sat over there just growling. And she made a statement. The owner of the dog said this: "I have no control whatsoever over that dog." Boy, that'll bless your heart. So here's a lady that doesn't want us on her porch, that hates Christians, and she got this St. Bernard dog over here, did not have the keg under the chin, and was growling at us. So I did the manly thing to do. I took Daryl, I put him right in front of the car, and I used him as a shield, and we got in that car as that dog continued to look, and look as all that dog did. But you know, that's rare that you come against a dangerous situation. That could have been a mess in a hurry. But God looked after us. God ministered to this lady again. You know, maybe next week somebody else went there and they got saved. I don't know. But when we go through difficulties, Paul, when he went to a town, he checked out what the jail was like, because oftentimes that's where he would end up. He was beaten. He was maligned as he goes. But that didn't stop him. He was delighted to go through all of that for the cause of Christ. And we need to have that kind of an attitude, that we would do anything for the cause of Christ. Now, he also had a sacrifice of his life marked by work in verse 9. Not the Maynard G. Krebs from Dobie Gillis years ago. Remember that? Anyone remember that show? Boy, that'll test your age, won't it? A couple reluctantly. Back in the 50s. Where beatnik Maynard G. Krebs, whenever anybody said the word work, he'd go, "Work!" Scared him to death. And sometimes work scares us, but not for the Apostle Paul. It was his life was a sacrifice of work. He labored and travailed for them. The word labor means wearisome toil to the point of exhaustion. Some yesterday worked to the point of exhaustion for the Lord. And then he uses the word travail, difficult labor, even a stronger word than the word labor. A couple of weeks ago, our neighbor across the street had a new roof put on. And there's three or four men up there hammering away. 90-degree weather. That's what I call travail. It's difficult labor, but it was more than that when it's 90 degrees out. That was awful. But that was Paul. Whatever the challenge was in his life, in the church at Thessalonica, he was involved in it. He wanted to be a part of it. And he did so night and day in verse 9. Paul started before dawn and continued into the night, doing whatever was necessary to get the word of the Lord out. In fact, Paul did manual labor, likely making tents, which was his trade. He did that in order that the word of God would continue to go forth, because this little church at Thessalonica sure couldn't support him. But God met his needs. God blessed him and met his needs so that he would be able to continue preaching the gospel. I believe what's needed in the body of Christ today is an attitude of sacrifice. So few Christians know anything about sacrifice. Some people, when they say sacrifice, they think you're only talking about money. Let's sacrifice and give to the Lord when the offering plate comes. But sacrifice for Christians involves not only our finances, but we ourselves. You see, God's work is not a work of convenience, but a work of sacrifice. Giving our time, our energies. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A living sacrifice. That means as long as we're living, we have to give of our time, our energies, our talents and abilities. Like Jimmy this morning as he's saying, here's a fellow with a great voice. He could be singing anywhere, but he sings for the Lord. And I appreciate that. Whatever talents and abilities you have, let's use them for the Lord Jesus Christ and minister to others. George Truett, the great Baptist preacher, said this, "It is not the talents one has that makes him great. However many and brilliant they may be, it is not the vast amount of study that gives mental enrichment to the mind and life. It is not in shining social qualities. It's not the large accumulation of wealth that secures peace and honor. In none of these measured by God's standards does greatness reside. True greatness consists in the use of all the talents one has in unselfish ministry to others." What are you willing to sacrifice? Time, energy, talents for the Lord? Reasonable, it's reasonable to be a sacrifice for Christ because of what He's done for you. Great theologian Donald Gray Barnhouse said this, "We are all of us to be witnesses, no matter what our calling, profession, or labor. A generation ago, there was a wealthy man in the Midwest who was an outstanding Christian layman. People used to ask him what he did. He would reply, 'I am a witness for Jesus Christ, but I pack pork to pay my expenses.' Your calling may be different than mine. Not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to teach a Sunday school class. Not everybody's called to sing in a choir. Not everybody's called to work in the nursery. But God's called you to serve somewhere and to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we ought to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the Lord's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Because He's already given you ability to do something. One thing He's given you the ability to do is to be a witness for Him. He said, when the Holy Spirit is come in Acts 1:8, you will be a witness. He's given you the talent and ability to be a witness for Christ in some capacity, in somewhere. Not just here in the church, but outside the church. There's great ministry that can go on outside this church. It doesn't all have to be on Sunday morning right here. Outside the church, when you come in contact with unsaved people, they're going to look at you, and you're either going to be a testimony for Christ or a detriment to the cause of Christ, one or the other, because they'll realize that you're saved. It's known in town that you go to church, that you've accepted Jesus, and so people are looking at you. What kind of a Christian are you? One that stands firm for the Lord, or one that's a detriment for Christ? I trust all of us will be sacrifices for the Lord Jesus Christ and do whatever we can, and wherever we go, we'll give a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, verbal and with lifestyle. And when we do that, we'll see what Christ can do in and through our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the testimony of Paul and his lifestyle, his life for You. And yet we realize he, like us, are not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things we ought not do. But we don't do what we used to. We've grown closer and closer to the image of Christ. And I pray, Father, You allow us each to grow even closer as days go by as we serve the Lord Jesus. Give us a ministry to each of us, Lord, that we can perform not just in church, but outside the church, where ministry really is needed, where people are lost and they need to know that someone loves them and there is one, the Lord Jesus. There's a church that would love them, and it's Whiteheads Grove Baptist Church. Lord, may they see the difference in our lives day by day as we live our lives for You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.